from 5 to 18. That's what we said in the beginning. And they had to leave at 18 if a similar good home could be found for them, which of course was difficult, but this was really a lovely place. It was a kind of place you would leave your child, you know, and not feel bad about it. And so we had about 15 children, and the home, I don't know if I described it to you, it was just perfect, you know, bedroom, bathroom, bedroom, bathroom. Had a golden dining room, a golden piano.
Oh, my. Oh, it's lovely.
I mean, it really was lovely. And we got furniture also from a lot of people. There was a restaurant going out of business on Shady, but I've got the name at the moment. And they said, take anything you want. Oh. So on Sunday afternoon, we went there and took just about everything. The tables were not cleared, nothing like that. It was sort of just left. And we picked up everything, stoves and refrigerators, the whole kitchen, anything to pepper shakers and salt shakers.
Wonderful.
And we had everything, and tables and chairs. Of course, we had nowhere to put these things. So somebody offered us a warehouse, and we bought it there so we could bring it to Horizon.
That was a windfall.
That was a windfall,
yeah.
But a lot of people would be very kind. Government funding was very difficult. It's only when you get going that the money comes. The first money is very difficult.
That's very difficult. Yeah. I mean, to keep it going and to
get funding and to find money.
What other than buying the home, what were the funding needs?
Everything. To run a home like that. A lot of money.
Food for the...
Help, food, upkeep of the place.
Cleaning.
Everything. Yeah. Everything.
How about getting staff?
We got very good. I still remember the first director. He really was terrific. Wonderful.
Okay, then the books. Ruth got the titles, and it's Gardens of North America and Hawaii.
Yeah.
And you and Walter.
Walter and I did that. Yeah. Well, as I say, when I was at Phipps Conservatory, I saw that, I mentioned the director had never seen any gardens. I see that nobody had seen any gardens. We had traveled widely and always to gardens. And we started to write the book because people didn't know where to go. You know, you drive long distance almost on the turnpike, and you got to stretch your legs anyway, and you go to one of the awful malls. Mm. And instead of going to balls, you might just as well stop at the lovely garden and refresh your heart and soul. And that's how we started it, really, and we gone to gardens ever since we married. Also abroad, in Europe and the Far East, but especially America. And we had the chance to travel a lot when Walter was president of the CCAR, Central Conference of American Rabbis, so we traveled a lot anyway. Always used the time to look at gardens as well as synagogues and temples.
And so you wrote the book.
And so we wrote the book, and it was very funny. We knew very little about commercial publication. So, in fact, we had an agent in New York who really didn't do very much. I went to New York once to see what was going on, you know. We had written the book first and then tried to get a publisher.
Right.
I came back from New York pretty disgusted. And I looked at my books and I saw Timber Press, which by the way is the horticultural press in America. And I gave him a call. I said, describe the book, it's all ready. Are you interested? He said, send it to me, I'll let you know in 3 weeks. He called me, 3 weeks, sure, we'll publish it.
Oh,
so we were very happy.
That's wonderful.
Publishing is a book like having a new baby.
Oh, I think so. Oh.
Feel like going out in the street and dancing.
That's terrific. Yeah. Did you get the name of the publisher?
Timber Press, T-I-M-B-E-R. In fact, I met last year again, and he asked us to revise the book, because it's been 15 years now. That's also what I'm working on now.
Oh, so you're revising two books?
Actually, three books.
What's the third one?
No, two on the two on the biblical garden, yeah, and one on the guns. In fact, America has changed an enormous deal in the last 50 years. A lot of money. Private people open their garden to the public. It's wonderful to see. In fact, we just came back from California last week and saw some very nice new gardens and also villas that have opened up to the public and give tours.
So there's lots to see.
Lots to see. Lots to see. Wherever you go, if you only know where to go.
And this book will tell.
And yeah, it's not, there are no signs on the streets or anything like that, not usually. And this book will show you how to get there and where to go. And have a wonderful time, wherever you go.
Now, I know that the the Biblical Plants, is sold out.
Yeah.
Is that right? And they're going to be printing the revised editions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When do you expect them to be? You don't know.
No, I'm really working hard, and it depends how much I work on it.
Sounds like a big job. In the Gardens of North America and Hawaii, is that book available?
No, it's also out of print.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Oh my.
And it will happen.
But it will.
It will happen,
you're
but I can't, you know, don't, I can't say when.
Okay. We won't hold you to it. Okay.
I'm always collecting gardens. I collected gardens from the time we had the book published to now for 15 years. I read a lot. I get loads of magazines. And I keep up.
So you're current.
I'm very current. Yeah, very.
Good. Then you also mentioned that you do a three times a year newsletter called Papyrus.
Do you?
Did you?
Oh, yes. Our third one just came out.
Okay.
Of this year.
Could we have one copy?
Yeah, I have to go to the garden to get.
Okay, and we'll get
I will do that and
turn that in. Mm-hmm. And what goes in the newsletter? What do you have to say three times a year about the garden?
Oh my, it's not. It's about our exhibit. Oh my glasses.
What are you looking for? Your glasses? Oh my. Did they fall between the?
Okay.
I was going to look between the cushions.
Let me see if I could find something.
Okay.
It's not about people in the garden at all. It's about the exhibit.
No, that's what I wanted to know, what you put in.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
so
this is the newest one, right?
Yeah, that's number three. Volume 12, number three.
Uh-huh.
Yes, on everything. This is Years of Plenty and Famine, some of these. And,
that's a beautiful publication. It's beautiful.
Huh? Well, a lot of the horticultural libraries in the U.S. really are after it. This one here is on feeding slaves, workers, etc. common vegetables, different ways of agriculture in ancient times, like plowing, and what kind of animals were used for plowing. We do constant research. We have a wonderful library at home.
Uh-huh.
If we didn't have that library at home, we could not do it, because you cannot get these books in any of our libraries, unfortunately. Vegetables in ancient days, and what were the oldest foods, and etc.
This is terrific. Do
you give them free of charge?
You do give them free of charge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the main horticultural libraries in America are very keen on it, because we're really the only garden in America that publishes anything on ancient agriculture and ancient plants.
Just beautiful.
Thank you very much.
I'm working on the archives with Anne Malloy.
Oh.
And are these going to be
Well, if she asked for it, yes.
I'm going to have her ask for it, because I think that we should have
we have now volume number 12.
Okay.
And I think there something should be done about this.
At least
only that, but our garden, we have also had lecturers over the years,
uh-huh.
very famous people in the garden.
Do you have copies of their lecture?
No.
That's too bad.
Unfortunately not. Only got our lectures. Ward and I gave lectures. In fact, one of my lectures I'm giving to a museum in Ohio next summer. My lecture on paper, on from papyrus to paper. They found out that I wrote that. They're having an exhibit like that on that subject, and they asked me to come and talk to them.
Will there be a copy of your lecture?
That lecture actually will be published, because when Walter retired, we had a symposium here,
mm-hmm.
and a test trip. You know what that is? Test trip. It's a German word which is also used in English for this sort of thing. Scholars come together and talk about subjects that interest the person who's being honored.
Mm-hmm.
And
as a kind of tribute to the person.
A tribute to the person.
I understand.
Yeah,
I don't know the word.
No,
but
that's fine. Tribute is a great word. Unfortunately, it's not 3 years and still not published, but it will get there. I also gave a paper at that time, as well as Rabbi Plaut, you know, from Canada, and a lot of scholars from the Hebrew University, from the HUC,
uh-huh.
Rather, and my paper also.
That should go into the archives, and I work there Thursday
Good.
Afternoon,
okay.
and I'll speak with Anne Malloy about
it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we should
I don't think they have anything in the archives.
It should be there. Absolutely. It's a treasure, mm-hmm. and it should be cataloged. Do you want to take? Do you think we should send this in?
Sure.
Okay, but we can get this in the Biblical Garden.
You can take that.
Can I? She wants to take one.
Set.
Okay.
I'll give you another.
We're finished, because I have a few more questions.
Okay.
About the newsletter. About the flowers.
No, it's not really a newsletter.
Okay, that's how you describe it.
It's a publication.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I wondered what you. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know what I'd really describe. You know, very often from gardens get newsletters are the volunteers and who gave money and all that sort of thing. That's not like
no.
that.
No. You called it a newsletter on the tape, and I
for
didn't.
Lack of
and
a
I wanted,
better word.
We have to find out a better word for it. Mm-hmm. Then I saw you in the interim, and you said to me that Walter said to you, did you tell them about this? Did you tell them about that? Did you tell them about this? And you said no. No. What were the things he wanted you to tell us?
Oh, my God.
We'll have to come back when you remember.
I don't know. And I really have to think about that. Okay. I don't know. At the moment, what were the highlights? One of the highlights, for example, was going to Rome when Bishop Wright was made cardinal.
Oh, you
that
went?
Was really, yeah.
Were you there by invitation?
Mm-hmm.
Were you?
The Bishop Wright and Walter were got to be friendly, and he invited Walter to come. Walter invited me to Rome, and there was a week of celebration which was really unforgettable.
Can you tell us a little
bit? The Catholics know how to celebrate.
Oh, good.
I think we were the only Jews there.
Is that right?
Yeah. With hundreds of, and funny enough, the young man who was responsible for us, you know, was the leaders around Rome, is Bishop Wright. Will.
Oh, really?
I have a picture
of
that.
He was a young man?
He was a young man.
Oh, my goodness.
And he steered us around Rome.
What a small world.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Does he remember?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he did remember. Well,
that was really funny. Well, what was it like? It was wonderful because every evening we had a different, huge dinner at a different marvelous hotel, and we were treated like royalty. Uh-huh. And hardly wanted to leave.
Were you there and you attended the ceremony when he became a cardinal?
Yeah,
that was,
yeah, we were at St. Peter's.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. So
it was very exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some wonderful trips. I don't know if you're interested in that. In the horticultural world, people are very nice to each other.
Uh-huh.
And we've had some very nice experiences, both in America and in Sri Lanka and in Burma. And
exotic places.
Exotic places. We usually travel for plants, especially tropical plants, and that really started with my interest in Phipps Conservatory. Introduced to the tropical world.
Do you go to look at them or to bring them back? You
can't, to look at them. I'm very interested in ethnobotany.
Uh-huh.
More and more, mm-hmm. how plants are used by men and what, in which way. And in fact, Walter and I taught last year at Chatham College ethnobotany, class on ethnobotany, just to see. Tropical vegetation is fabulous. Really nice and very nice experiences in Sri Lanka. I'm a member of the Palm Society, so I wrote to the three people in Sri Lanka who were members of the Palm Society, and one even called Pittsburgh and wanted to meet us. And while we were there, he escorted us around the gardens in his truck. And
maybe they'll come to Pittsburgh sometime, and you can do the same. That's a troubled country, isn't it?
Sri Lanka, it's a troubled country with the Tamils.
Yeah, right.
Well, you don't go to certain parts of the country, like the northeast. That's where the problem.
So that didn't intrude on your.
Yeah,
on your visit.
No. But I don't know what else.
Well, if
can't
you
think of anything.
That he asked you and you said you hadn't told us, do you think we've covered it? Would you say, is there anything that you
in
think?
In your whole life? I don't know. I really mean to think about my life. I don't think backwards. I think try to think forwards.
You know what? That's what Dr. Freehoff said on his 90th birthday.
Yeah.
I came to hear his lecture. And I thought, here's this brilliant man who's talking about life, who's lived to be 90. What can he possibly say? I need to know it. So I came to hear, and what he said was, you know, in a nutshell, enjoy the past, but can always look to the future. And at that time, I didn't think it was so profound, but I have found that to be a very profound statement. and it has enriched my life.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful statement. Okay, we came to interview you as an individual in your own right, but would it be appropriate for me to ask you if you want to say anything at all about your experience as a Reform rabbi's wife? Because we haven't touched on that at all, and if you prefer not to, it's okay.
It's okay with me. Actually, I knew nothing about Reform. When I married Walter, when I got engaged to Walter. In fact, my friends were, I remember meeting a friend in Selfridges, London, and I told her I'm getting married. And she said, to whom? I said, to a rabbi. She screamed out loud in Selfridges, you know, Selfridges, London, "You, a rabbi's wife!" It was the most improbable thing for my friends to realize. No, I knew nothing about Reform Judaism. When I came here on a very wintry day, well, actually, I met Walter in Rome, in Italy, on the church steps of Santa Maria Maggiore. And we got engaged after about a week. And then he had to go back to America because of the high holidays. And then he asked his secretary, Louise Markovsky, who died not too long ago, to look into, book him a trip back to London. So she said, "What's that for? You've just been there. You get married?" He said, "Yes."
And she fainted.
So he came back and we got married. And after a brief honeymoon, he had to go back. But I could not be admitted to America, even married to an American.
Why?
Because the quota for visas for people born in Germany was filled already, because a lot of the German girls married Americans and they took up all the visas. So I was back, stayed in London, and he was back in America. But he got some people going here, some politicians, so I only had to wait about 6 weeks to come here on a blistering day, lots of snow. And I knew nothing about Reform Judaism, absolutely nothing. I was conservative. And the first meeting I attended here was a lunch for Mrs. Levy, Rabbi Levy's wife.
J. Leonard Levy's
wife, 90th birthday.
Oh, wow.
The, what is now called the Freer Hall, was packed with women.
Oh, my.
They all looked alike to me. They all spoke alike. I could never tell anybody apart because I thought they all went to the same hairdresser. Except Mrs. Aaron.
And she did her own hair.
She did her own hair. I was introduced to about 90, I don't know how many hundred people.
Terrible.
And I guess I sort of given up since then. No, I'd never, coming from Israel, everybody worked, and I'd never seen so many people having free time for lunch in all my, you know, my life. It was a totally different experience. In fact, I think I wrote to my boss in Israel that time, a Reform rabbi is like a social worker.
Probably.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah, still, I think.
Yeah. Well, Walter happened to be that way, and also scholar, that he was able to combine it.
That was wonderful. He brought a warmth, I thought, to Rose Strong that we were very pleased to have.
Thank you. Otherwise, Walter, unlike a lot of rabbis, want their wives to participate, or at least then. Now, wives work. Mm-hmm. But when I got married, at 58, wives did not work, did not have a business at all.
No.
So they were supposed to, like Lillian Freer, to me, she's the perfect rabbi's wife. Always was, you know, she totally devoted.
That was her career.
That was her career.
Right.
Yeah. And she was his secretary before.
Right.
Walter never asked for me to devote myself, you know, to temple or anything like that.
It
wasn't always easy, not with three children. And, but, you know, he didn't insist on it. And then I think I was one of the first people to start a business. One of the first rabbi's wives.
Not only a rabbi's wife, but a wife.
A wife, yeah.
There weren't many.
They had a plant business. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I talked about
Plant that. Hunter.
Oh, the plant
right.
Hunter.
Okay, so.
Otherwise, I've eaten a lot of chicken.
Chucky's chicken.
Chucky's chicken. Weddings, etc. I never went to everybody's wedding, I don't think. Only people I know, although I did. It would be too much time.
It would be, it's all consuming.
Very consuming.
Yeah.
But I always, nowadays, rabbi's wives don't even attend services anymore on Shabbat. But for me, that was very different because I grew up going to synagogue every Shabbat.
Right.
And life would be not complete.
Anything else? Well, we have a 3-minute chance. Is there anything that you would like to add?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. This has been wonderfully enjoyable.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
No, I don't know what to want to...